Two teachers from the college across the river will come to Ulysses. They won't know they're here because the town looks dead, deserted. They'll miss the big celebration too, of course. That's today, a little park over there across the river. The early morning light usually comes over those maples there by the road where it turns to go to the river. Mid oaks and autumn just about drive you wild. Colors will flame out for a while. You'll forget that the ash trees are dying. That the county will come in next month and put red X's on those to be cut down. You'll forget about all that for about 2 weeks in autumn. But the night isn't finished here yet. The trees are asleep. They're dark. Those colors are sort of silent right now. The breeze is cool before dawn. You need a coat these mornings. But the trees won't save this town. I doubt if anything can save it. And maybe that's best. Even towns get old and tired and die. Of course, this one isn't dead yet. There's still living going on here even now. But there's no denying it's seen its best days. Some of the folks still living here might argue that the town's dying. I suppose some of them would even applaud the idea. Oh, look, there it is. See that orange in the sky just there? There above that line of trees? Well, that's morning. That's the way it comes. And then it'll drag down and kind of flatten out over the hills, pressing the darkness deeper into the trees. Until the trees start shining out, picking up the sun's rays, you might say. Of course, there's not much you'll see here. At least not as the world reckons see them. Still, such as we have, you're welcome to. Oh, here comes a pin oak. Look at that color. Oh, and that moving shadow over there, that's Mr. Weed. He moved here after 39 years teaching college. He generally gets in some early fishing before the sun's up too long. Most people figure Mr. Weedy's up and about. Tom must not be dead yet.
Yes, I fish. Best thing I ever learned, if one learns to fish. There are several schools, no pun intended, have thought about that. I'm told fishing is looked upon by some as evidence of laziness. Nonsense. Who else do you see out and about at this hour? Evidence of craziness, my wife says.
Horace loves to fish. Why, thanks a lot, he'd rather sit on some slippery mud bank watching a cork bobbing on the water than almost anything. Time was, he hadn't time for fishing. He just about drove me crazy talking about worms and flies and spinners and oh, I don't know what all. It wasn't enough to drive a body out of the house. Then, when he retired from the college, he had all the time he wanted to fish.
And he didn't mind leaving you alone while he went off in the wee hours either, did he? Not him. If he was mine, I'd soon put a stop to that nonsense. Getting up before dawn.
But he isn't. You're Bernice, and I'll thank you to remember that. Horace is a fine gentleman. And fishing is a perfectly respectable hobby.
Sarah and Bernice, they're sisters. Bernice lives with them. Never married. Though there was a time when she returned to Ulysses sudden-like after living in California. Word we got was she met a fellow who sold used cars in Bakersfield. She got a lot of promises, but she was left waiting at the altar, you might say. She came home to her sister's place, and, well, she hasn't been very keen on men since, before on California. Well, the sun's pretty well up now. The town's supposed to be dead or dying. There's plenty going on if you know where to look. Those ladies coming up the street there, they're going to do some laundry. Looks like the bank, don't it? Actually, it used to be the bank. Norris Toomer, the teller, closed it when he decided he could be richer and probably happier in Philadelphia. So he took the money and that ended the bank. Well, it's busier now as a laundromat than it ever was as a bank. That's Pearl French and Emma Tischhauser going in there now.
Yes, I do my laundry here.
Where else? You don't expect me to go down and do it on the rocks in the river, do you?
Lord, no, Pearl, not you. Why, if there was any work connected with it, you wouldn't budge a finger to wash them clothes.
Well, at least I know when to keep quiet, Emma Tischhauser.
Yes, Pearl, we know all about you keeping quiet.
I seem to remember the time Reverend Wiebe was just beginning the Easter Sunday sermon when you started hiccuping. And hiccuping and hiccuping. He couldn't go on. He stood there looking perplexed, wondering if he should just go on. Then he did go on. And you hiccuped. And he stopped. And you stopped. And everyone waited to see if he would go on or not. Then he began slowly to see if the road was clear. And you hiccuped again right smack in him. Hallelujah!
Laughing.
Well, I couldn't help it. If Myra Skaggs hadn't snickered like that, I would have been all right. But she snickered and snorted behind him. I had to laugh.
Well, then the babies, remember?
They didn't help either.
They all seemed to start hollering at once, just wailing and throwing themselves. And then people beginning to laugh out loud.
And you hiccuping for all your work. Sounded like some old steam engine. The Reverend Wiebe looking mad and trying to preach.
Preaching I was called to do, and preaching I intend to do. And those that make a mockery of the word shall be cut off. And those that scorn the sermon shall be cast out. And those that...
Our Reverend Wiebe means well. But he is a mite stuffy. He's awfully unforgiving to hiccupers when you serve. Well, now the day's begun in earnest. There'll likely be a bunch of folks in the Wash and Dry Emporium today. Today's a big celebration in the park where we honor the town. Bill Dooley will sing. He's Irish, but he sings fine.
Well, Mrs., the people here, well, people are just so odd from any other state.
doing. You gotta get hot. There'll be lots of lemonade and fish sold today. That's our pavilion down there, down by the lake. You see that big orange canopy? We use that for our celebrations. It's a parachute sent back all the way from Vietnam by Bobby Solichki. We all waited for Bobby. He didn't come back. Well, the charge to the new preachers generally takes place on Fair Day, and that's always an interesting occasion. They always seem to be dressed in black. I wonder why.
Dear young men should remember your vows at all times and in all places. Be thrifty. Put something aside if you can. Study scriptures. Don't bore your congregation with all the newfangled ideas like higher criticism and all the other isms. Stick to the text.
That's my boy, in the black suit. My, doesn't he stand straight and tall? Look at those shoulders. His coat don't fit, but he'll grow into it. I wish his father could see him today. Monroe was a quiet boy, read all the time. The other boys, they picked on him when he was little. But look at him now, standing there with all those other brand new preachers. My.
Yes, they picked on me. I was quiet and different. But they were cruel, the way most people are cruel. But they went their way with fishing poles, cars, and women. And I went mine. I studied day and night, often all night, and I prayed I would have the strength to get through seminary. My brother was watching me. Some of the boys I went to seminary with are too. They don't know how to act or what to call me. Good. I won't help. They got their fun. Just let them come to my church asking anything, and I won't help them. Just let them come.
And your strength shall be multiplied 100-fold to do the kingdom's work. Study diligently. Eat light meals. And avoid gossip.
Yes, avoid gossip, if you can. Just pray you never find yourself in a situation where you have to comfort someone. When nothing will do but holding that person until they stop sobbing. You fear their heart will break, and you hold them and talk to them and rock them in your arms until... Just pray you don't face that. There are times when warmth and closeness mean more than quoting passages, but just pray the elders don't find out. That's why I'm standing here just watching and instead of assisting Brother Weeby with the charge to the candidates.
Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's ox!
There's them that says Brother Kincaid got a bad deal in that little church of his. Not much was heard out of there. That's down in the hall. They didn't ask any questions. They just kicked him out. Churched him, they call it. Seems an odd way to put it. Well, the girl cried and told them that he was just trying to help, but they wouldn't have it. Once Abner Stokes has set on something, believe me, that's it.
We may live in the hollow, but we ain't stupid. I was walking past the church, and I seen Kincaid, Brother Kincaid, holding that DeVore woman. Well, I can tell you we don't stand still for that here. We don't want that around here. We just won't have it!
Yes, he helped me. I guess I left you a little choice. I was hysterical, I suppose. I just lost control for a moment. I should have been stronger. After all,
other women have gone through the same difficulties when their husbands have died or left them all alone. But with me, I had only been married a short time when John was killed in a terrible accident with a mine. I was nearly mad with grief. Alone, pregnant, my parents in Boston. I guess I just needed to pour myself out to someone. And we hadn't made any friends here. It's just so hard to make friends here. You know, it's difficult to make them accept you if you haven't been born and raised here. Reverend Kincaid, he was so gentle, so understanding. He just held me while I cried. He just...
Sure, they'll both lie. I know fornication when I see it.
I doubt it.
Mrs. Stokes. She may be from the Hollow, but she speaks up.
You keep out of this, woman.
No, I'm not keeping quiet. My name isn't woman. It's Ellen. And if you go through with this, I'll never forgive you. That preacher showed some sympathy to that girl, and I'd have been ashamed of him if he hadn't.
Well, sympathy can be shown from his side of his desk. I saw him holding that woman. And swaying back and forth.
I'm surprised you recognize me.
I was just doing my duty as elder.
You're a cruel man, Abner Stokes. And this Hollow is cruel as well.
Nevertheless, they told me to leave. I just stopped by to see the new men. I see they still wear their black suits.
And you are servants to your flocks. Always show compassion to an injured or troubled soul without thought for yourself.
Well, the day's getting on. Food sure looks good, though some of the pies are looking a little runny in this heat.
Hey, that's my balloon. Yes, the red one.
Here, let me handle that pot, Skip. It's too hot. Down here with that pitcher. Oh, be careful. It's crystal. All the way from New York.
Look out. An ant's on your spoon, Junior. I said to look out. Junior, you ate it.
All right, Joe Huggins. Into the jail with you. You know you can't come to Faraday without a beer.
Hey, before I go, can I see old Merle the pitcher?
Oh, come on. Just don't shove so. You'll bust it. Just get in that jail. Get in there.
Joe Huggins showed up last year. He got thrown in our little makeshift jail then, too. But he'd had to drop too much, and he threatened to burn the thing down unless they let him out. Well, they refused, of course. It was all fun. Next thing we know, smoke's coming from the jail. I'll be darned if he didn't burn it down right to the ground. Almost burned himself up in it, too. Guess he was too drunk to know his pants were smoking.
Anything on four legs. As a matter of fact, he did pretty well with the two-legged creatures last year when he hiked the lake on Alderman Jones during his annual Fair Day speech.
Can you beat that? What a question! How about I answer him? Would he understand my search for truth, for beauty, for...
Slow it down, Charlie.
For the just way, the meaning behind it all. How could I tell him of my search for the transcendental modality? How do I infuse him of my appreciation for Aristotle, the Eastern mystics, the nature of the one?
Charlie, Charlie. Your Uncle Ralph understands quite a bit about the one. About how you and he are one. How he held your dying father above water during that terrible flood. He is infused with growing better corn and selling more hogs, so you can continue college. He doesn't have a lot of time for the Eastern mystics, but he does pretty well every Sunday in the community church.
But Aunt Harriet, all he knows is the farm, the land. There's a whole cosmos out there. There's millions and millions of stars up there. Think of the interaction, the dialogue between peoples.
Oh, I wish you could have seen him last night, Charlie. You were sound asleep when your Uncle Ralph put on his slippers, and he sloshed through the mud and the rain, and went to fetch back that hound who was having those pups. She hid them in a big hollow log. Ralph brought them back in his shirt, their mama alongside him, looking up at him with the most sorrowful eyes. He sat down in the barn with them and he bribed each one. And he got their mama to lie down in the hay. He sat there till the wee hours, talking to that hound so she wouldn't get scared and run off into the woods with those pups. I don't know much about interactions or dialogues, but he stroked that poor old hound and he stayed right there until he fell asleep in the hay next to that dog. He wanted to give you one when they was weaned. He thought you would love a dog.
Sun does seem to be sliding down a little. These days are just much shorter now. Some say the early autumn trees are starting to turn. Fair Day seems to be a turning point in our weather. Don't seem to keep folks home, though, worrying about rain. Oh, you see those folks over there by the food stand? You can tell right away that they're not from around here.
Don't eat this stuff, Janet. It's terrible. I don't know how the Board of Health lets them sell this stuff.
Oh, Fred, be serious. A Board of Health? This place?
Well, just look at this. You think for 1 minute this is a buffalo burger?
Probably goat.
Don't eat it, Precious.
But Daddy, it's good!
Oh, Precious, your pinafore.
Mommy, can't run around and play!
No, indeed. You'll just get grass stains on your dress, and I'm not paying Bill, so you can roll down the hill.
Janet, do you see one other man around here in a genuine double-knit polyester sport coat? People are really hicks.
Fred, they're colored. Rural rustics.
Colored, Fred. That's why we came all the way out here.
And so the day winds down. Sun hitting those far trees is a mighty lovely sight. Fires will be starting soon. Young folks will wander down to the river and set a while. We pretend not to know.
I don't pretend. I never pretend. Abomination and abomination! Turn your back all you want to. I wouldn't be surprised if a she-bear didn't appear and spite them all in their sins.
You'll have to excuse me. See, the good Reverend forgets how he and Lizzie used to spark down by the river on Fairfield. Of course, since Lizzie passed on, the Reverend has put more emphasis on sin, it seems. Maybe that's what happens when your bed is cold at night.
Oh, Buddy, I don't think we should. Buddy, don't be mad, but, well...
But gosh, I love you. Haven't I told you that before?
Yes, Buddy, only...
Oh, Sue, I'm going to school next week. I'll be gone. And if you love me...
Oh, Buddy.
Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory.
speeches yet. Oh, you missed Alderman Jones' speech about how we came to name our town Ulysses. Well, I guess that's not too important. Actually, half the folks who live here have forgotten. Oh, the wind is turning. The moon will be cold tonight. Good night, Frank.
When I shine smiling, all the world is bright and gay.
Stop that singing!
Some things just never change. You see, this old town still has a little life left in her yet. Because at least some of us can still sing.
After all, I guess maybe that's the main thing.